You try, you stupid. No, you have to say yes, 100%. So how do we increase our conviction and self-confidence? How do we increase our conviction and our self-confidence? By daily reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Because all the inspiration, all the knowledge, all the psychology, you remember that class we heard a couple of days ago? All the psychology is there in the Bhagavad Gita. All the human interaction, any type of scenario which is going on, is in the Bhagavad Gita. You read Bhagavad Gita, you become learned, you study Bhagavad Gita, you'll know the nature of the human mind and how it works. And you'll know how to deal with people. And you may say, okay, I know, but still I can't apply it. You know, I just can't project it. I know it in my head, but I just can't get it across. What do? You chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And all of a sudden, your head, your heart, it connects. It makes click, you know? And all of a sudden, when you go out, you develop what's called traction. You know what traction is? When you actually get somewhere, you actually feel something is happening. Like sometimes you go up to people and you just say hello, and the people go like, yes. You ever had that? You just raise your finger, and everybody starts looking, you know? You ever had that? You just start waving your hand, you know? And people get drawn to you. And at other times, you're screaming and shouting and yelling. You're walking on your hand and clapping with your feet. And everybody just walks straight by you. They walk all over you. They don't even know you exist. Did that ever happen to you? How did that make you feel? Kind of stupid, doesn't it? Now you could be wearing a purple, you know, bathing suit with pink dots. But if you're on the false ego, nobody will notice you. People will ignore you. You can be Papa Brahmachari, all shaved, dressed nicely, and very effulgent saffron. But if you're proud, then I am the big man now, delivering the big talk, giving out the big book to these lowly people here. Everybody will just walk right by. And they will say, what? 80 rupees? I'll pay you 70. Then you say, okay. Then he says, I'll pay you 60. Okay, now I'll pay you 50. And then they walk away. Huh? So, the point is, how do we get from where we are now to where we want to be? What's the first thing you do when you see a map?
Look at where you are.
Remember, this is Book Distribution 101. Yes, where are you? It's like you go to a park. You have that little red dot on the map. You are here, right? That's called realism. That means bring it down to basics. Now we may think, I'm here, I'm here, I'm there, I'm there. But when you go and you distribute books, Krishna puts a mirror in front of your face and in your heart. It tells you, no, you are here. Now you may like it, you may not like it, you may want to fight it, you may want to fake it, you may want to show everybody that you're here, 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 here. But Krishna is so kind that he shows us, you are here. And this is the path. Now if you can't deal with that, you will have an exceedingly hard time distributing books over a prolonged period of time. Because every day, Krishna will put that mirror in front of your face and say, you think you're pretty? You think you're smart? You think you're something? Just see. And what's the other tough one? Dealing with rejection. We all are afraid to be rejected. If somebody ignores us. Somebody speaks bad about us. Somebody insults us. So we have to learn to deal with that. How? By being Krishna conscious. We understand we're not this body. We know. The soul is just passing through. I'm not this body. I'm not this nationality. I'm not this gender. So we're not uptight if people neglect us, if people praise us, if people ignore us, if people insult us. It will happen. Believe it or not. After a few years, you will meet all types of challenging situations. Now, externally speaking, these trying situations, how can you act in the right way in situations which you've never experienced? Like, this is classroom environment, right? And we learn different things. But when you're out there in the real world, it always happens in a different way, right? Not the way how you learned it in school. So then how do you act properly? By understanding the principle and by being able to apply it in practice. Now, what's the principle? Like, sometimes you have all the knowledge, but you can't access it. You just can't, you know, we read so much, we heard so much, we experienced so much, but you can't, you know, when you're there and you need that special arrow, you don't find it, you know? Just not there, you quiver. You're missing the access code. What's the access code? Who knows? If we realize that we're very small and humble ourselves before the Lord, all of a sudden, that arrow is already on your bow and it goes straight to target. So whenever you feel, we're not going very systematic here. I'm sorry if I'm disappointing any one of you who wants to go in a very systematic way. Yes. Yes. The sense of humility or your ability to put your head down and actually live that humility. That is the way how to invoke that mercy from Mahaprabhu. Because as long as we're proud, why should he give us the mercy? Because he's Patita Pavana Gora Hari. If we don't realize that we're Patita, that we're fallen, if we think we're great, why should Mahaprabhu bless us? Why should he come and assist us? He's doing fine. He's got it all under control. She's got it all figured out. But as soon as we realize, truly realize, I'm desperate. I can't do this. I can't give this book to this person. Did you ever have that realization? You had a person, they were nice, they were interested, this and that and the other thing, but it just didn't happen? So many times, right? You connect with them on some level of psychology or talking and this and that, but somehow, it just doesn't connect, you know? They just can't take the book. Why? What's missing? What's lacking? The mercy is lacking. Where does the mercy come from? It's not our mercy. It's Mahaprabhu's mercy. But he only gives this mercy to the people who realize that they are very small. So that's a realization which we are cultivating in Sankirtan. Because Krishna is showing us, on a daily basis, where we are at. So then when you invoke that mercy of Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, after certain practice, you will learn how to deal with that energy. The mercy energy, the kripa, it is very powerful, it is very potent. And it can blow you away. Like you've all experienced, when you really get ecstatic in Sankirtan, sometimes you get a little carried away. And you can kind of lose it a bit. Did that ever happen to you? You can do what you want, you can say what you want, you can do stupid things, and it's all good, because you're just riding the wave of the mercy of Mahaprabhu, right? But the problem comes when you stop. What happens then? Right? And as soon as our mentality switches from, oh, let me use this energy to serve Mahaprabhu and to bring these people in contact with Mahaprabhu, as soon as we make the switch to, hey, look at me, I'm styling. I'm riding the wave here. Hey, end of summer. Huh? It's happening. Did you see how I gave this person the book? Did he ever think like that? Two more, you know, first class. That was just superb. And then, nobody wants to look at you. Because they're turned off, because you're not connected to the mercy anymore. So how to deal with the mercy of Mahaprabhu? In a way of gratitude, in a way of true thankfulness. By not utilizing it for our own selfish purposes. Yes, you can go and you can do wonderful things. Yes, you can come back to the temple and you can jump and shout and dance and blow the roof off, and that's great. But if you are thinking yourself to be Hanuman and stepping on the little guys, then Ram will come and say, doesn't work like that. Huh? And because we're not Hanuman, in fact, Maya will come and say, you know, Punar Mushti Kabbalah. Again, you become a Mahri. Huh? And then we go, before we're so big, and all of a sudden we're very small. So how to deal with that mercy, when the mercy comes? Because you have all realized, once you actually start going and you actually break through the barrier of the body, of the mind, of the senses, of the external difficulties, and you're actually in the flow, the mercy starts flowing, what do you do then? Any suggestions? What have you done? Not yet. Or make sure?
I had an experience, every time I distributed a lot of books, then there would be some time where I wouldn't distribute books. But
yeah.
I did this, I said, thank you. Every time I distributed a book, I would say, thank you, Krishna, for your mercy, I pray for more of it. Every time I distribute a book, I said, thank you for your mercy, Krishna, I pray for more of it.
Did you hear that?
He reminds me that.
What did Isha just say? Can somebody repeat?
Yeah.
Thank you, Krishna, for the mercy.
Thank you, Krishna, for the mercy. Yes. Gratitude. Gratitude is the key. Do we only thank Krishna? If you have trouble connecting with the people, you know, sometimes it happens. It's kind of hard to connect with the people because they're busy doing their thing and we're busy doing our thing, and somehow the two things are not the same. Try. Start thanking people. Thank you for being out here. Thank you for coming out early. Just start thanking people. Try it. See what it does. People just, you know, they'll just stop. They just start to listen. They just start connecting with you. Why? Because it shows gratefulness. And gratefulness, gratitude, is something very attractive. Very attractive. Why? Because it's a very rare commodity. Why is everybody so much into gold and diamonds and all that stuff? Because it's a rare commodity. It's something which is rare. You don't find it by heaps and, you know, like garbage. It lies on the staircase, it lies on the road, it lies everywhere. Huh? It's a rare commodity. So in the same way, gratitude is a rare commodity. If you find a person who is grateful, that's very unique, right? You've all experienced, you meet so many wonderful devotees in your life. Just remember one extraordinary devotee you met who didn't react in the way he was supposed to react, you know? Didn't get angry, didn't get upset, you know? You all have so many experiences. Did you feel attracted to that person? To that quality of tolerance, of compassion, of gratitude? It's very attractive. If you see somebody who's got it, it's very attractive. So when you meet the people, they're attracted to your qualities, which you're reflecting, but they understand, actually, this is coming from this book. That's what we should portray. That's what we should convey to the people. Because people actually come to the point of liking you. And they'll just take the book just because they like you. They may say, I'm not religious, I'm not into this, not into that, but I like you. I take your book. Sometimes people may even say, I'm interested, I want this book, but I don't like you. I'll take it from the other guy. Did you ever have that? Huh? How did that make you feel? Huh? Where's that other guy? He was nice, you know. I don't like you. Bring me the other guy, I'll buy it. So, and you may say it's biased, you may say it's foolish, you may say it's limited. But we're in the same way. We're people. People means person. Means personal feelings, emotions. Don't be scared. Huh? Most of the interaction goes on the level of emotions. That means we have to learn how to deal with our own emotions. Very important. We're not the salesman. Okay, we put the table out here, we put a banner there, we take a mic, and you say, eat the half price, eat the half price, eat the half price. And you just scream loud enough for as many hours, then you will sell so many books. And then we go home and count the money. Yes, it is book distribution. But it's not what will actually give you the true taste of the activity. You understand what I'm trying to talk about here?
Yeah.
Rasa.
Taste. Taste, yes, rasa.
Yeah.
You want to get the real taste, the real rasa. Not just the surface, not just the image, the picture. You want to actually go inside deeper. Like you can come to Mayapur and you do some shopping and you eat some pizza and you see some people running around in funny dresses. And then you go home. And then you think, yeah, I did it. I did it. I've been there, done that. Ticked off. Next place. Moved on. But you've not been in the dump. You've not really experienced the rock. You have not seen what this place is all about. Because you have not understood what motivates the people who live here. Or what kind of energies are moving here. In the same way, you may be out there on the street holding out books. But you don't connect. You don't realize what's going on. So we should be very anxious to really connect with the real rasa, with the real taste, with the real core of book distribution. Because that taste is so strong, it is so addictive, it is so sweet, that once you've tasted it, you can't give it up. For the rest of your life. Now, if you're still attached to family, friends, and you know, home, and all that, don't go to the bank of the Ganges, where Shyama Sundar is playing on his flute. If you want to keep on your attachments and your mental conceptions of who I am and what's possible and what's impossible, don't go and take it, because your mind will be blown to pieces. I have seen people who are complete introverts. Not able to talk three cohesive sentences. And the power of Sankirtan, the mercy of Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, Shakti, has opened their hearts like a lotus flower. And people are drawn to them like magnets, taking books, just accepting whatever they say. So Sankirtan transforms your life. The question is, do we want to transform our life? Do you want your life to be transformed? Or are we happy with the way things are going? That's a question each and every one of us has to ask themselves. Am I happy at where I'm at right now? And I'm trying to play it safe, you know? Just kind of, you know, going through the motions and... Or is there something which we haven't experienced yet? If you're still, 3:30, oh my God, you know, again, oh no, another day, another book, oh no. That means we haven't really connected with the nectar. Otherwise, you wake up at 3:15 and you go like, wow, I wonder what's Krishna wearing today. Let's go and find out. I wonder what type of wonderful people Krishna will send me today. Let's go and find out. And you have that drive, you have that anxiousness that I want to go out and meet all those nice people which Krishna is going to be sending my way. Because he will. But if you think, oh, you know, another day, another book, you know, okay, no, 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 yes, no, 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 yes, you know, then you're just like the guys on the roof there, you know, hacking away with their hammers. And that's not very much fun, is it? We're, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said, we are not construction workers. We are not just moving bricks from one side of the building to the other side of the building. They asked him, should we put money in the bank so that we have, you know, we can ensure the safety and, you know, the prosperity of the temple and deity worship. You know what he said? Let that temple close down. If you don't have the potency to preach and to attract people to come, let it close down. What's the use of it? Now that's a pretty drastic statement. But that comes from our, you know, our predecessors. So we're not just trying to move projects here. Okay, they're going to build the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. Wonderful. It's great. And it will draw millions and millions of people. It's a magnificent project. Prabhupada wanted it to be built by book distribution. Somehow or other, unfortunately, we lost it. We didn't, you know, it didn't happen in that way. Because of history, whatever happened. So now, by the magnanimous nature of some other devotees, still the project is going to happen. But that doesn't mean that we can't endeavor and persevere and also put in our part, right? Because we also want to contribute for that project, isn't it? Because when I come to this place, I want to be part of this place. I don't want to feel like a flaming tourist, you know? Oh, okay, let's take some pictures. Oh, it's nothing. I've been in my book. I want to feel like I'm part of this. This is home. This is as good as it gets. But if it's not good, and it's not home, then we're in a very lamentable position. That means we're not really connecting to the mercy. Our own false ego, our own stubbornness is keeping us away from this. Now we got a little bit off track, so we got to backtrack here. Why did we get off the track? Like sometimes you talk with a person and you got a little bit off track. Does it ever happen to you? What do you have to do? You keep on driving? No. You have to eat humble pie, turn your car around, and back up to where you left off. Okay. So you bring it back. Like in a conversation sometimes, you go off a little bit, but then you have to bring it back to the center. They're all talking about the same thing here. It's about preaching, it's about sankirtan, it's about book distribution. The how to distribute books doesn't make any sense if the why is not answered. Many people come and ask questions. Okay, what's your mantras? What's your technique? What's your bottom line? How do you get the money? How do you give them sets? How do you give them lots of books? How do you achieve the results? Then I ask you, why? Why do you want to know? What's it for you? Why do you want to know? What's your motivation? That's my question to you. Why do you want to know? What is it to you? So ask yourself, what's in it for me? Why do I do what I'm doing? And if you find good answers to this question, then you've got a lead. You got a path there, which you can pursue. But it's just because I want my name to be up there on the score, on the list. Why don't you just take a piece of paper and put your name up there, you know? Number one, yourself truly. 15,000 book points. Key job. And you put it on top of your bed or your fridge or your mirror or wherever you see it. And you look at it 5 times a day. And you feel great. I'm a great guy. That's not what keeps you in Krishna consciousness. That's not what's going to carry you over all the obstacles. That's not what makes you deal with people in a very personable way. So look in our own hearts. We should look in our own hearts and minds. Why am I doing what am I doing? And if that becomes clearer, then the how becomes quite easy. Because it's not rocket science. It's not that complicated. What does it boil down to? Basic bottom line. You tell people who you are, what this book is, and what they can get from it. Sometimes I don't tell them anything. Sometimes you just go up to people and you just smile. And you just hand them something. And they just open their wallet and they hand you something. And you both just smile and shake your head. And you just say, you know, keep it real. Okay, I've got it. And we move on. Have you ever distributed a book like that? Try it. You don't say a word. You try it. You can't lose anything, right? You can't get any worse. Huh?
It's a body language, huh?
No, not even body language. From your heart. You just project from your heart. I truly, deeply, sincerely want you to have this. Because this is the best thing there is. And I know you're a good person. But you could be doing fantastic if you had this book. So you just project that desire to the person. You try it. I'll come to your point in a second. Consciousness creates reality. Whatever goes on in your head will create reality. Did you ever experience that? Your consciousness was Krishna conscious, and all of a sudden, even though the place was pretty terrible, was pretty hellish, it transformed into Vaikuntha, and everybody started throwing money at you, and started smiling, and they're like, hey, where have you been, man? You know, how's it going? Have you ever realized that? Did that ever happen to you? Yes. It did. And if not, keep at it. Keep at it. You'll come to that point. It may not be every day like that, but some days are like that. Like we had Shivaratri now, a couple of days ago, right? I remember in Shivaratri in the early 90s, I distributed 250 Maha books. Two full sets, two Srimad Bhagavatam sets. People were just throwing money at me. I didn't know what happened. Later on I found out it was the day when Buddhimanta had left this world. Who knows who Buddhimanta is? Anybody? Buddhimanta was one of the early book distributors. You remember Prabhupada Lilamrita when they stopped at the gas station and instead of paying they gave books instead of paying money? That was Buddhimanta. So he was one of the first ones who actually broke out the big Krishna books. The big silver ones with the golden letter, Krishna, Supreme Personality, Godhead. They're massive, you know, they're huge. And started distributing these books. That was Buddhimanta. He was such a big book distributor. One time Prabhupada was giving a darshan, so many people were there, life members, Indians, devotees. Buddhimanta came in smiling. Prabhupada asked him, how was Sankirtan? And Buddhimanta told him, and the Prabhupada saw Buddhimanta wasn't wearing a shirt, he was just wearing a chadar. Prabhupada went up to his, I have heard two versions of the story. One version was that he unbuttoned his shirt and he gave him his own kurta. And one story was that from his cupboard he took a kurta and he gave it to Buddhimanta. Now you can still get that shirt of Prabhupada if you go out and distribute his book. You want to get Prabhupada's shirt? I won. I badly won that shirt. So you can still get Prabhupada's shirt. if you go out and distribute his books. Now, Bhudimanta, later on, he contracted leukemia, his body was dwindling. We were visiting him, Harinamananda and Damodar Swami, myself, in Vrindavan. He was living in the back of the guest house. You know where the toilets are? There in the back, there's rooms on the ground floor. And he was very weak, very thin. His mind was, you know, not very stable. He went in and out of consciousness. And after taking us on parikrama, he took us to Bhudimanta because he said he's sure he will be happy to see us. So he told Bhudimanta who we were and what we were doing. And Bhudimanta told us a story about Prabhupada, how he got a shirt from Prabhupada. And then he started laughing and cracking up. And he said, I was just doing a few books. And Prabhupada gave me a shirt. What will Prabhupada give you? And he was just laughing like a madman. And we were like embarrassed, you know. Here's this person dying, you know, emaciated, thin. And he's in ecstasy. He's like totally, completely Krishna conscious. And here we are, you know. And it was very hard, you know. You can appreciate, but it's hard to connect. Because sometimes it's just too intense. So, when he was talking about Prabhupada, his mind became as lucid as the clear sky, as the sun in the sky. So he was telling stories about Prabhupada and about Sankirtan and this and that. And I could feel, here you got a Sankirtan devotee. It's a person who can capture your mind, who can grab your attention, and just fully focus on you. He could have said, oh, you know, I'm sick, I'm dying, my body, this, that, it's, you know, it's hot, it's dusty, it's this and the other thing. No. He was just going straight for the nectar. Nothing else. Like a honeybee. Honeybee is going straight for the nectar. As a Sankirtan devotee, we have to develop that quality. We just go straight for the nectar. And every person has got some nectar. But a fly is looking for dirt. Huh? It's like when I came here, I saw all the dirt. Now it's a little bit better. Huh? After some kirtan and some sadhusanga, become more enlivened. Sometimes you walk into a situation and you see everything that's wrong. But we should see all the positive things. We may have a person in front of us who is an ocean of bad qualities. Kalir dosha nidhe raja. Astyeka mahatuna. Kirtana deva krishna se mukta sangha paramvite. Like this ocean of faults in Kali Yuga. So many bad qualities are there. But there's one good quality. If you simply chant Hare Krishna, all of this can go away. Now you may meet people who are so far away from Krishna that you can't be further away from Krishna, even if you would try. They're in Jagai Madai Sampradaya. Huh? In a very inimical, very adverse. But how to connect them to Prabhupada's books? Like we heard in the class about Lord Shiva. By taking difficulty upon ourselves to act for the benefit of the living entities. Somehow Krishna will use you as an instrument and empower you to touch the heart of that individual. And all of a sudden it goes bling and they connect. And they start nodding their head. And they take to it. It's as simple as that. Now I can tell you hundreds and hundreds of lines and jokes and mantras. But this is the bottom line. This is the baseline. You work on that. Then you can improvise. Then you can start to do so many other things. Now, if we're not really confident, what do? It's like some days we get up and we go into the temple and we're not feeling 100%. Does it ever happen to you that you don't feel 100%? You feel like, you know, something. The body, the mind. You know, you just know. It's one of these bad hair days, you know. You see couples in a knot, you know, and kind of ripped it out. It was all in your comb, you know. You ever have days like that? Try to put on your tilak, and it goes this way, it goes that way, it goes the other way. It's all perfect, and then you put on your shirt and you smudge it all over your face. No, it only happens to me, right? You guys never do that. You're all perfect. Anyway, you have sometimes these bad days, right? And you go to the temple. I know, yeah, okay, all right. You know, the conch and the curtains and bowing down, and then comes samsara, and you know, the guy's horse, and he sings like, anyway. So, but then some people just start, you know, they start chanting and dancing. And you're like, what? How can they chant and dance? You know, why aren't they miserable like me? So, but if we just connect and see what they're doing and do the same thing, what happens? Initially it's a little artificial, you know? You start jumping and you start dancing and you don't feel exactly like dancing. But within 20 seconds you're a natural. Have you ever tried? You should try it once. Just try it. You need Russian translation? Yeah, Russian translation is there. So you just try it. When you feel like, oh, today, I don't know whether I'm able to distribute any books today. You know, I'm not exactly 100%. Then you just start. And you just act. As if you would be the real thing. And all of a sudden, the mercy starts flowing. Huh? So we just have to put ourselves in the humble position. And even if it's a little artificial initially, and we start chanting and dancing, or we start, you know, distributing, and we're not fully there with our consciousness, our mind, you know, our mind may still be all over the place. Like sometimes devotees, there's so many branches, so bahushaka, you don't even get it into the van. They've grown horns, you know, like an elk. You know what an elk is? In India, you know what an elk is? Anybody knows what an elk is?
It's like a bull, you know?
Yeah. Big bull, but with big horns. And not just horns like this, but big, massive horns. Huh? So sometimes after being too long in a temple or a festival, you know, we grow a horn. We walk around. We think, you know, here comes. And then the Sankirtan leader has to take out the hacksaw, you know, and say, okay, hey, watch over there. What was that? You know? Nothing. It's all good. Okay, get in the van. Let's get going. Because we become so accustomed. Oh, I got my nice room. I'm getting mahaprasada. You know, everything's fine. Life is all organized. I got my friends. I got my enemies. I got my admirers. I got my life figured out. And you tell me to get into this old piece of junk and go on traveling Sankirtan? You must be insane. Yes! Go, jump in the water. Yeah? Now sometimes we may not feel that we're ready to go into the water. But then Krishna just throws us in the water. And after a while we're very glad. We're very happy that it happened like that. One time we're driving in a car, Rohini Sudha Prabhu, who's one of the original, you know, big book distributors in Europe. And one devotee, he had a watch, very fancy watch, you know, chronometer, with those little circles, with the little hands moving around, the many buttons you can press, you know, something nice piece. So he was pressing the buttons, and he was showing it to everybody, and they were all looking at the watch, and this and that. And he was feeling very, you know, watch conscious. Not Krishna conscious. So Rohini was driving. So at one point, he said, can I see your watch? And he said, yeah, sure, sure, you know. So he gave it to him. So he looked at it, and he opened the window. They were driving over a bridge, and he threw it out. And he closed it. He said, Krishna gives, Krishna pays. And he moved on. Yeah. So now part of that devotee's heart just jumped out of the window. But you understand the point? You may say this is cruel. You may say this is not humane. I say this is mercy. Because if you allow yourself to get attached to material things, you won't survive out there. You won't make it. Then Maya comes and tells you, oh, you're such a pretty girl. Oh, you're such a pretty boy. Why don't you come with me? And you think, oh, this must be Krishna's arrangement. You know, it has come out of its own accord. The Lord's mercy. You will not know what's what. So sometimes, Krishna is a little tough. Huh? And he shows us by teaching us the hard way. And that's why Sankirtan is so wonderful. Because we can actually learn all these things in a very positive environment, in a very happy environment. Because sometimes we read it in a book, we read it 100 times, but we don't get it. Because we only get it once he kicks us in the head. Have you ever had that experience? You've read something 100 times and it just didn't sink into the skull. But then Krishna's merciful nature, he slightly slaps us or kicks us in the head. And all of a sudden, we actually get the realization which we're supposed to get. That happens on Sankirtan. That happens on book distribution. So don't be upset if things don't go your way. Don't be upset if people don't treat you the way you like to be treated sometimes. See it as Krishna's mercy. Because he's actually allowing you to let the air out. Because the false ego has to be deflated. We can only get into the gate of the spiritual world on our belly, crawling. Huh? When you're humble. If we're puffed up, inflated, you cannot get in. Inspiration to continue. We're going to talk about all the techniques tomorrow. We get into the nuts and bolts stuff tomorrow. That's okay with you. Because we got 35 minutes and which is today is why we're doing what we're doing. It's inspiration. What inspires you? What keeps you going? What gives you the drive? Why do you get out of bed if you get out of bed? Huh? What's your inspiration? What's your sources of inspiration? Huh? It's another one. Not just why you're doing what you're doing, but what inspires you? What truly inspires you? What really touches your heart? Tell me, quickly. What inspires you? Don't think. Don't think. Just talk.
I was saved by Prabhupada's books.
Okay, you're saved by Prabhupada's books. What inspires you?
To see that other people are happy.
See other people are happy. Okay, that inspires you. What inspires you?
The books grew up as a music,
you know,
just gets better and better.
Okay.
That's the point where.
Okay, you want to hear the orchestra.
Yeah,
you want to see.
Just beyond.
Yeah. Beyond good.
Beyond, completely beyond it.
Okay. Alright.
I'm convinced that this is the best.
You're convinced that this is the best, okay. What inspires you?
Make people happy.
Make people happy. You like to see people happy. Yeah. Same. What else? What inspires you?
Vision like a bomb one day they burst and they went to the...
Okay, you're an activist. You want to see that bomb go off in the right place and cause the maximum damage. Yes. We want to actually recruit and train activists. People want to go out there and plant these bombs of Krishna conscious literatures and destroy the ignorance which is so prevalent in people's lives.
And someone wants to come back to the van and chant.
Somebody comes back with you to the van and they want to chant. They want to actually learn about chanting. Yes. What else inspires you?
To help people.
Yes. What else?
The real peace formula.
The real peace formula. What inspires you? Yes. What inspires me? When I see a person with that smile on their face walking away with that book, and I know that they've gotten that kripa. At that moment, they're tasting that kripa of Mahaprabhu. It's cosmic. It's, you know, just pious. It's beyond piety. It's beyond credit. It's beyond their endeavor. It's just the causeless mercy. You know they have it. And we are able to see it and appreciate it. You know how much advancement you can make if you appreciate other devotees who are engaged in devotional service? Tremendous advancement. When I'm done with Sankirtan and I take prasadam, the taste of that prasadam, that inspires me. I don't care what it is. But that taste, that inspires me. When I see other devotees coming up and break their first 10 books or 50 books or 100 books a day, and they're like, whoa! You know? They have like that feeling, you know, of like, wow. That inspires me. What inspires you, Prem?
Many things. One of things is you personally.
I knew I shouldn't ask you.
But also another thing I was thinking, you can say many things, but one of the things is actually this way, how you can survive, is my personal surviving my Krishna consciousness in Sankirtan. When I feel more Krishna conscious, then I know that I have to read more, otherwise I cannot discover books, and I have to. And this is also a way how they can survive, this only way, by getting this book.
Thank you. Any other inspiration? What inspires you? Because people are looking for inspiration, you know, and if we don't have it, then how can we give it? We got to be inspired. We got to be juiced up. You got to be charged up. Yes.
The whole Prabhupada program, one evening reading the whole thing as Prabhupada prescribes it, I'm always inspired.
You're always inspired. You just follow the formula. You don't deviate from the formula. It actually works, and it not only works once, it works every time. It's amazing. Because there's so many other things. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But this formula, it works every time. If you're feeling lonely, you're feeling sad, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling not 100%, you stick your hand in the bead bag, you chant a few rounds, you read a chapter of Bhagavad Gita, all of a sudden you're like, wow, you know? What happened to that guy before, you know? What was an hour ago? You ever see that, you know? What was our state of consciousness an hour ago and now? Just because we chant in Hare Krishna, if you read a chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's called Krishna consciousness. Not just survival, not just getting by, not just, you know, cruising, but actually getting somewhere in life. Now if you want to distribute Prabhupada's books for a long time, you gotta read every day. You gotta take on the medicine on a daily basis. Even if it's festival, even if there's a million other things to do, even if you have to be a star and you have to distribute your 300 books a day, you still have to read. Because otherwise you'll run out of energy, you'll run out of steam, you'll run out of ammunition. You're all reading minimum 1 hour? Who's reading 1 hour a day?
I have a question.
Yeah, we'll get to that question. 1 second. Who's reading 1 hour a day? Who's reading 2 hours a day? Pretty good. Who's reading half an hour a day? Who's reading one verse a day? The point is, we gotta read. This should be more important to us than breathing. More important than eating. Like today, we know we gotta eat two meals at least, right? Breakfast and lunch. I mean, that's the minimum. Even if you're very austere, you know you've got to eat at least once a day. We figured it out. I don't know yet how, I don't know yet where, I don't know yet what, but I know I've got to eat. Isn't it? So in the same way, we should figure out, I'm going to read today. Okay, four rounds, 16 rounds. But reading, that's for holidays, for vacations, or, you know. We gotta read. There's no ifs, buts, and whens. And that happens in a continuous basis. So that within 2 years, if you read 2 hours a day, within 2 years you read all of Prabhupada's books. So if you're in the movement for 10 years, you've read Prabhupada's books 5 times. If you're in the movement for 20 years, you read Prabhupada's books 10 times. If you read a chapter of Gita a day, within a month, you almost cover the Gita twice. Try it. So now it's 2010. We need some New Year's resolutions. We have to make some plan, some determined effort to actually start some good habits. We have so many other habits, but we got to start some good habits. By doing good habits, the bad habits will just stop eventually. Well, why can't we read? Oh, we're too busy, or we don't think it's so important, or so many other things to do. I've got a secret. If you don't have any time to read, just get up 1 hour earlier. Just get up and read. Get up, wash your hands and your face. That's what Prabhupada used to do. He went to bed around, you know, 10 o'clock, and by 12:30 he was up. He didn't take a shower, he just washed his hands and his face, because it's not a good time to take a shower. Just washed his hands and his face, and he started translating for 2-3 hours. Because if you read Prabhupada's books, your words will convey much more meaning, much more depth, and they have much more thrust. You can actually penetrate through people's coverings. Like sometimes you feel like your words are just getting absorbed in their, you know, defense system and in their false ego, and like you're not getting in there. You ever had that experience? You just don't get through, you just can't connect with the person. When you actually read and chant nicely, you can actually get through. But you have to understand, you know, you're small. You're not big. If you're big, you have too much exposure, you don't get anywhere. To be small. Like a small fish that's taken shelter of the river. Have you ever seen a fish? They can swim up the waterfall. Have you seen it? Can you believe it? Who believes it? Who doesn't believe it? There's a waterfall. Water is falling down at great speed. But the fish, who has taken shelter in the water, can swim up the waterfall. It's possible. Even against the current. You might be a big, strong elephant. You just get washed away. But the fish who takes shelter makes it true. So the point is, if we purify our mind, our intelligence, by reading, by bathing it in Prabhupada's books on a daily basis, then our words will actually convey meaning. And we'll actually be able to touch people's hearts. And then Sankirtan becomes very, very tasteful. You will say the same things. But the reaction, the result is completely different. So make that experiment. You're all very intelligent persons. Many of you have got degrees. You know, make a laboratory study. Try it out. Just give it a month. Read every day 1 hour of Prabhupada's books and chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita on top of that. And see what it does for your sankirtan. See how you can connect with people, how we can focus. It's a tremendous difference. Now I have seen both in my own life. I can roll out of bed and distribute 100 books. I've done it. I'm not proud to say, but it's possible. It's not so enjoyable, and it's not so nice for the people. But if you actually read and chant properly, it actually becomes a spiritual and transcendental activity. The books are transcendental, But our consciousness is not always transcendent. So if we want to go on for a lifetime of book distribution, we have to absorb our consciousness in transcendence, in Krishna consciousness. You had a question?
Yeah, what if we just are listening to Sri Prabhupada's books on like a MP3 player? Is that as good?
No.
No?
Illegal. Strictly forbidden.
Really?
Of course it's great. You listen to audiobooks, you listen to lectures. It's all wonderful. But if you actually pick up that book in your hand and you read and you turn the pages, there's a special energy there. You ever felt the difference between reading a book and hearing it?
Yeah.
So both are nice. But there's got to be reading, which means sitting down, picking up the book and reading. You know why? Because that's what we want the people to do. Now, if we're not doing it, how can we get them to do it? Isn't it? Do as I say, but don't do as I do. You know my guru, he wrote these books for me to sell and for you to read. So I'm just selling here. I don't know. You know, I just work here. I'm not eating this food. I don't read these books. I'm just, you know, doing my job. Will it be very convincing? No. We have to take the medicine. Otherwise, because what's the goal? We want to inspire the people to read the book. But if we're not reading it, we'll not have the credibility, you know, the authenticity to actually convey the importance of reading the book. Because it's not just, okay, you buy it and that's it and you're gone. We want the person to actually read the book and to take it seriously. Now, if we're not reading it, and we're taking it more or less seriously sometimes, sometimes not so much, then it will not really get across.
I mean, like, sometimes I have to drive like 3 hours, you know, to get to the next.
So you listen to the books and you listen to tapes. That's wonderful, that's great. But you still got to do your hour of picking up your book and turning the pages. As, you know, old-fashioned as it may sound, it's still part of your daily sadhana.
I mean, like, does that mean I have to take an hour out of book distribution?
How many hours do you distribute books?
Like 7.
So? That leaves how many hours? It's 24 hours minus 7. So, that means 17 hours left, out of which you have 3 hours driving. That's a lot of hours. It's a lot of time left. If something is enjoyable, if you enjoy doing something, do you find the time doing it? Like, do you have the time to eat? I think you figure it out. You're smart, no? Now, some things are necessary just to stay alive, like sleeping, because otherwise you sleep in class, or you drive off the road, or you just can't really connect with people, because your mind is just, you know, mush. So, you need to sleep. So in the same way, we need to read, because it's just part of the process. You see, our mind always wants to see duality, so we create a false dichotomy. Either this or that. Now what do you prefer in a yatra? You prefer to have 10 brahmacharis who distribute 50 books every day, 5 days a week, or you prefer 500 congregational members who distribute 20 books a month? What do you prefer? Who wants the 10 brahmacharis? Okay, who wants the 500 congregational members? You want both? Okay. So that's the right answer. You know what you want? You want, you know, pizza or pasta? I want both. Right? Because they kind of complement each other. You know, it works well together. Right? In the same way, the mind is always like, okay, I'm confused here. Should I do this or should I do that? If I do this, I can't do that. If I do that, I can't do this. So right now, you're confusing me, so I'm not doing anything. This is an insolvable dilemma, and I'm stuck. Don't let your mind put you in that situation. Because that's the mind, it's just a material aggregate. You know, that's not you. But the mind does that to you. Because he knows that it's our weak point. Everybody's got their weak point. Usually the answer is both. If it's Krishna conscious activities, do both. But when you read, you read. When you chant, you chant. When you listen to audio, you listen to audio. Don't do too many things at once. Sometimes you see people driving and chanting and listening and eating and chanting Gayatri at the same time. And it tends to get a little dangerous. So just focus on what you're doing. You're driving, okay, and you're listening to audio, that's great. But then you also read. You're smart, you'll figure it out. And some days it's less, and some days it's more. But you find your balance, that you get your reading done. Okay? Good. Any other questions? Related to what we just heard today. Just topics from today. We'll deal with this, don't worry. When we talk about
the importance of
yes.
That it is something that this is Prabhupada's notion. I learned from some devotee that Prabhupada, when giving you the question, he meant preaching, the most.
That means they haven't read the letters and the tapes and the books and they haven't really.
In that respect, we say that it is, you know, devotee specific, that he's motivating the devotee, he is motivating us to kill the devotee, so he has to talk like that.
No, he said it in class, in Srimad Bhagavatam class. To everybody. There were women, there were children. We got it on video. I can show you. I can bring it. There's a DVD. Everybody was there. And he told everybody, this is what I want. Very clearly. Now if somebody comes and says this is not what he means, what he actually means is this, this, and this. This is demoniac. This is demoniac. If you take the words of the guru and you misconstrue some other meaning which is beneficial for your own purpose, that's demoniac. It's the same like when people go and say, when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, surrender to Krishna, he doesn't mean surrender to Krishna the person, but what he actually means to say is surrender to the unborn, eternal, impersonal inside Krishna. That's demoniac. The Prophet says, please distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. And somebody comes and says, no, actually what he means is, you know, preach or do this or do that. That's demoniac. Because it means you're taking the instruction of the guru and you're twisting it, you're turning it, you're interpreting it to suit your own purpose. Now, Prabhupada also said that Gurukul is important, farming is important, deity worship is important. What is book distribution? Book distribution is preaching. But if you think that preaching means running around with a briefcase, signing checks, or preaching means only going to these type of people, or to these type of engagements, or to these type of functions, then that means we have a very, very limited vision. You understand the point I'm getting at? Now we're using very strong words here, but it's a fact. And we have seen it happen. How people have turned against the instruction of Srila Prabhupada for whatever reason. Now even if I'm not distributing books, I can still say this is what Prabhupada wanted. I may not be in a position or in a situation that I can do it right now, that I can fulfill it. Like they asked Prabhupada, why were you so long in India? You know, why did you come to the West earlier? Kind of like implying, you know, I mean, why are you wasting your time there? You know, Jhansi and here and there and the other thing. Prabhupada said, I was preparing. You know, I was preparing myself. And I was preparing for my mission. It took him 8 years to publish that first canon of Srimad Bhagavatam. He did it all by himself. And then, when he was ready, he took off. And even in America, it took a long time. Talking to Pennsylvania, nothing was happening. New York. For almost a year, nothing was happening. So we have our own types of time scales and levels of how we see things are working out, they're important, they're not important. But you know, if Guru asks you for water, bring him water. Don't go get milk. Don't get grape juice. Give him water. It's more safe. You'll actually, you know, please Guru in that way. Yes?
Just distributing books will not suffice. We can make sure that people read them.
Definitely.
We should have a program where
we
can ensure that people read
them. Definitely. Just like if you're a farmer, you're not just throwing seeds out on the field. You go broke very fast. You'll not be a successful farmer. First you have to prepare the land, you know, then you put the seeds, then you water the seeds, you protect and take care of the plants, then you harvest. There's a whole cycle. But even if you don't do any of the other activities and you just throw the seeds out there, still there will be some plants. So you can't say, oh, I can't do anything because we don't have follow-up, or we don't have cultivation, or we don't have a temple with a great box of programs. How did this movement start? With a box of books and a small pair of symbols. And Prabhupada, with an unflinching faith in the instruction of his Guru Maharaj, who told him, if you get money, print books. Don't build temples, print books. And everything else will follow, you see. It's not that it will stop with book distribution, but from this, everything else will follow. He sent devotees all over the world, just with books and with kirtan. And then everything came from that. Temples, preaching, devotees, everything. But even if you have everything, but book distribution is not there, you feel like you're in a museum. Yeah. And even the deities look sometimes like statues in a museum. I've just been in one very successful temple in India. No need to mention names or locations. Where everything's conducted like a business. But all the deities look like statues in a museum. Because everybody's paid, everybody's on a payroll, everybody's on a contract, everything is strictly business. Nobody is there just because for the love of it, for the fun of it. If they ask you, why are you out here? Because it's fun, because I like doing this. So from book distribution, everything else will come. And once everything else has come, book distribution should still be there. Because it's all, books are the basis. If there is no books, there is no basis, there is no foundation. We can talk and give lectures and philosophy, but what will your 5 minutes of talk accomplish if you're not giving them a book? They'll walk away and they'll forget each and every word you've said. But if they have taken a book, they will be able to read it and refer back to what was, you know, conveyed. You're not convinced. Of more arguments. There is, you know, people go on arguing till the cows come home. There will be so many arguments, it won't stop. You know? Just ask the person, what's your bottom line? If you just want to say, I don't want to do this, I can accept it, fine. That's honest. Why don't you just come out and say, right now, I don't want to do this. For whatever reason. I'm busy, I can't, I'm not in a state of mind, I don't feel like it. That's honesty. But if you're saying, actually, this is not so important, actually, he meant something else, that's bad. You understand my point? At least be honest. There was a time in my life where I wasn't up for book distribution. I wasn't doing it actively. I was supporting it, I was encouraging it, I appreciated it, but I wasn't doing it. Why? Because I didn't feel myself qualified. But that doesn't mean you have to talk down on something. You can have great appreciation for another service, even if it's not your service, even if it's not what you're doing. But the materialistic mentality is always, if I'm not doing it, it's all bad. And whatever I am doing, that's the best. Why is it the best? Because I'm doing it. Why is India great? Because you were born here? Now what if you were born in, you know, in Pakistan? Then you put Pakistan is great in the back of your truck, right? Why? Because you're born there? That doesn't make a country great or less great or anything. It just means that you have the mentality of a cow or an ass. You think that the place of your birth is worshipable. Any other points?
Book distribution, nothing else is nothing.
Which means that if you do that perfectly, everything else will come from that. Because it will enable you to develop the proper mindset and the proper mentality and the broad-mindedness that you see that yes, we gotta have schools, we gotta have hospitals, we gotta have farms, we gotta have temples, we gotta have everything. But if you don't have the books, it's got no substance. It's like in our old lives. We may do so many things. And many of us have. We have tried business. We have tried ventures. We have traveled the world. We have been whatever. But we have seen in our own lives, if it hasn't been connected with Prabhupada's books and it wasn't based on the Krishna conscious philosophy, it just turned into dust. We just ran through our fingers. And it just became meaningless. Just like names on a piece of paper. Discarded. Thrown in the wind. Gone. So if you want to do something meaningful, if you want to contribute and do something meaningful in your life, take some time and distribute Prabhupada's books. Try to make one person happy a day. How's that for a goal? Making one person fortunate a day by giving them Krishna consciousness. That's a start, isn't it? You may think, what does it matter? There's 7 billion people out there. Well, you just start, you know? You make 365 people happy a year. That's a start, you know? That's something. Any other points? Yes?
So we're reading books of Prabhupada, then we become convenient. Yeah? Like, it is the purpose of reading books that become convenient.
Yes.
So the question is, define that I am only whether I am convenient or not. I don't know. Maybe the convenience is sufficient half an hour for me, maybe sufficient 2 hours. How I can recognize that I am only ready for this?
Why are you chanting 16 rounds? Because you can't chant 64 rounds. Because you can't chant constantly. That's why there is a minimum. It says minimum. We should be absorbed in Bhagavatam all day and all night. But we can't. Because we're conditioned living entities. I don't want to offend anybody here, but... So that's why we say, try 1 hour. If you feel courageous, go for 2. It's a minimum. Other points?
I was going to ask, like, how you maintain the pure motivation for book distribution.
Pure motivation? Well, first of all, what is purity?
Purely doing it for the pleasure of Krishna and the Guru.
Purity means selfless service. It's not for my own pleasure. I'm not doing this because it is giving me scores, it's giving me results, it gives me a reputation, it gives me money, it gives me the buzz, it gives me freedom from pain, It gives me the feel-good moment, you know, oh, I'm a good guy, you know, I'm one of the good people. I'm going to do this even if it feels awful. I'm going to do it for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. Selfless service. No matter what Maya throws at you, you're still going to do it. From hell or high water.
Any tips on how you do that personally?
Any tips? You just keep on at it, and you introspect, and you check your own motivations on a regular basis, you know? Might be after every interaction, might be a minimum every day, at the end of the day, you introspect and you ask yourself, how was my day? What were the high points? What were the low points, you know? What went wrong? Why did it went wrong? After a while, you should be able, when something goes off, you should be able to bring it back onto the track. When you feel that you're deviating in your chanting or your distribution, you can draw back and continue on the path. That ability comes, but it means it's renunciation of speech. To only say the things which are necessary and not to go off into blah. To stick to the essentials. But everybody's got their own challenges. For some the challenge is get out of bed, for some the challenge is get out of the temple or get out of the van or, you know, get out of the cobweb. There's so many barriers and hindrances. Find your own challenges. Fight your own battles. We all know what our challenges are. If you don't write, you know, just take a piece of paper and a pen and ask yourself, what are my obstacles? What is really bugging me? What is really keeping me down? Why am I not flying? Why am I crawling? And then you work on those points. And that means developing humility. Maybe I'm not a star. Maybe I'm just a beginner. And you start asking other devotees, okay, how can I help? Can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Can you help me with that? And you'll be surprised. Each and every devotee has a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of realization, a wealth of Prabhupada's mercy. Because that's our process. We take shelter in the association of the other devotees. Not, oh, there is Krishna and there is Guru and everybody else, you know. Get out of my way, you know. Why are there so many people here, you know? Can't they see I want to go and have darshan here? It's going to be awfully crowded in the spiritual world, you know. There's a lot of people there. But it's not a problem, because everybody's kind of on the same page, you know. So, see what your challenges are and deal with them in a straightforward way. That means purity of desire, you know. Because you can only come to selfless service if you understand, you know, like it says in Ishopanishad, that if you want to know the absolute truth, you have to have knowledge of vidya and avidya. You have to have knowledge about truth and about ignorance. Because if you don't know what ignorance means, there's a good chance that it's already got you. If you don't know what the mind is, there's a good chance that you think you are your mind. Okay, thank you for the message.
And we'll come back tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your patience and participation. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada Chanda Bhakti Devotion ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki
jai.
Srimad Purnamidhi Dham ki jai.